Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC Insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.
You're listening to the station focusing on the Plymouth-Canton community. This is Community Focus on 88.1 The Park.
Good evening and welcome to Community Focus. Each week on Community Focus, we talk to people of interest in Plymouth and Canton. Tonight, we're speaking with representatives of a Plymouth-Canton marching band. Our guests are Director of Bands Dave Armbruster, Associate Director of Bands John Thoman, and the band's booster president, Chris Zygmunt. So Dave, we'll start with you. What is your job as director of the bands at the park?
To oversee all aspects of the program. I'm primarily in charge of the concert program. I work with John, the marching band. We've kind of split up the duties just because we've got so many ensembles and so many kids. John does the marching band, and we kind of team every aspect of it.
So John, I heard a little bit about what you do. Anything else you want to add to what your job description?
We're just a true team in a sense. I don't think titles really mean too much to us. I think we just know how to delegate now that we've been working together for 4 years. It's been a learning curve, but I feel like we're really starting to make some progress.
And Chris, you're the booster president. Anything else that goes on with that job that might not be in the title?
A lot of stuff. You know, the boosters are really the logistical arm of the marching band and the whole concert band program. There's just way too much that has to be done for the directors and the staff to handle it. So we do things like fundraising. We handle the fees for the marching band, volunteers. With a 175 to 200 member marching band, it's like moving an army. So you need things like equipment crew, guys to load the truck. You need a food crew, the people to feed the band when they're on the road, uniforms, and the list just goes on, and then chaperones. So we kind of help coordinate all of that.
Do students have leadership roles within the band?
Yes. In fact, we've really started to develop a new leadership system, and there's a lot unknown to it right now just because it's our first year with it, but we've hired some consultants who do student leadership. I think it's the hardest thing I've ever tried to teach students, and it's more difficult, I think, now than it was a long time ago just with the amount of technology.
So how do you select pieces that you're going to use for performances?
Well, there's a series of design meetings and discussions that take place. For instance, we start designing the marching band show typically before the season's over with. I mean, we've already even started talking about shows for the fall of 2016 and 2017. It's more like a Broadway production. There's a lot of theatrics that go into it and a lot of different people to coordinate. You have a drill designer, you have somebody who arranges the music for the winds, and then we have two people that arrange music for the percussion. Then we hire choreographers and we delegate with a lot of people. Last year we had a staff that were instructional educational team that worked with the students of about 40.
What type of commitment is the marching band?
It's a pretty significant commitment. We have time off during the summer, little pockets here and there, some sectionals in the evening, and then as we get to July, the end of July, last 2 weeks, pretty much all the way through November is pretty significant. And then obviously with the Tournament of Roses parade coming up, we go all the way this year to January 2nd. It's one of the nice things that we have with the fact that it's extracurricular, because kids can choose to be in it. If they want to be in it, they can be in it. If not, they can be in the concert program. And, you know, we see on a daily basis between I think this year was a little over 400 kids. And next year, obviously with the kids matriculating in, you know, we could be pushing 450. Every day.
So how does the band impact students and prepare kids for life after high school? For some that will go into band collegiately, but for those that don't take that path, how does the marching band prepare them for the future?
Well, everybody's going to get something different out of the marching band. There are some that are in it purely to be a part of a team. They may not be the most athletically sound person or the most socially. I mean, we definitely have some socially awkward kids that when they come in the beginning, you know, are very shy. I think that's the thing that I like the most, is watching them from year one to year two, all the way to their senior year, watching the growth. I mean, it's amazing. As kids are walking by the office, we'll see kids that the last year said two words and this year are now completely and totally social. And, you know, you've got some kids that are gung-ho on being band directors or composers, or they branch off into a number of different fields. We've got two kids this year that just graduated. They're going to Michigan State and Western to do two different types of composition. Every year, anywhere between 12 to 14 kids are talking to us about them wanting to go into some form of music education, whether it's teaching or composing. They can be as involved in the band program as much as they can. Some show up just for concert band. Some are concert band, marching band, winter guard, winter drum line, plus jazz band.
If you were to talk to any really effective teacher, they would say they teach through their subject. They teach life through whatever vehicle it may be, English, math, social studies. I think in today's world, I mean, there's enough research that'll show that students will end up having five totally different careers. So the idea that you'll be in one place is not necessarily going to be their future. So I think what we teach is to hold them accountable. And I think any great teacher does that. I also think the greatest thing that we teach is how to relate to other people, how to have empathy, how to forgive. Very basic things that I think we all learn, you know, by the age we're five, but we forget sometimes, including us as adults. It's a great reminder for everybody that regardless of what you do, you're going to have to work very, very hard. Harder than anybody else if you want to be great. And our marching band has a long legacy and history of excellence. And it does tie in math. If you were to see us teaching the students yesterday, we were talking about a grid and how they move on a football field. There's also research that would show when a student performs music, it electrically lights up the entire brain. And it's one of the only activities that really does that. And it's no surprise to us that most of our friends that we went to high school that we were in band with are engineers, are doctors, are doing very successful things with their life. I went to watch the Plymouth Community Band. I was talking after the concert with so many adults who aren't pursuing music as their career, but still are playing in community bands and music is a part of their life. The whole tuba section in the Plymouth Community Band were all engineers, and they sounded amazing. I don't think that's an accident.
Chris, what type of fundraising went into getting to go to this Rose Bowl parade?
We kind of kickstarted our efforts probably last November. If you do the math on what it's going to cost, it's well over $500,000 to get this entire band out to Pasadena between travel and the cost of getting the equipment out there. We have a semi full of equipment we have to get out there. We're doing lots of little fundraisers. Back in May, we did we called it a Tournament of Roses Gala, where the Tournament of Roses president, Mike Matheson, and his wife, Ann, came into town to visit the school and the local community. We took them around to some local attractions, and we kind of capped it off with a dinner reception and auction at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn. So that's just a few of the things we're doing. Still a lot of planning to do. We still have 6 months before the parade and a lot of money to raise.
Any fundraisers coming up in the near future?
We've got something we're planning in Plymouth. I believe it's July 30th in conjunction with the Plymouth Community Band. We do bottle drives throughout the summer. We've got some we're working on selling miles to Pasadena where the community can buy a mile on the route to get the truck and the kids out to Pasadena. So we'll be putting that together. We have an entire subcommittee, aside from the normal booster groups, that's helping organize this. Like I said, it's an army of parents that make all of this possible. And our goal is to make it accessible for all the kids.
Is this the first time you guys are going to go out to Pasadena?
First time was in 1973. And we actually have the secretary at Plymouth, Debbie Phillips, was in the marching band when they went to Pasadena the first time here. It's very neat to hear her talk about her experiences that she had.
Has this been a goal of yours?
As we talked, John and I, over the last 4 years, when he first came in, we took the band to Macy's. We had done the same competitive circuits, Bands of America and MCBA for decades, but had never taken any subsequent trips. So when we got accepted, kids had a great time, and then we talked about doing, you know, once every 4 years. When the time was coming up, we talked about some options, you know, look at going back to Macy's, let's think about the Rose Parade. We kind of agreed, let's see if we can throw our hat in the ring.
For states this past year, how'd you guys finish?
Kids finished great, had a great run, won the state championship again. I think it's the 24th time in the last 28 or 29 years.
And then you guys went on to nationals as well. How'd you guys do there?
Kids had two great performances. I think we ended up 15th or 16th. We don't focus on the placements. It's about the performance.
The kids walked off the field on their last performance, and number one thing we talk about with them is to just do the best that you can. You can't control what someone else thinks. We put the best product we could out there on the field, and the kids performed extremely well, and they were all excited about it. That night, you would have thought, when we got back, even though we didn't make finals, you would have thought they had won.
I've walked by the marching band area in Plymouth, and I see the trophy case. What's that like to walk by and see all the trophies and the success you guys have had?
I rarely look at the trophy case. This might sound wrong. We've got trophies everywhere, and it's one of the things that we keep for the historical perspective. But we talk to the kids that a trophy's a trophy. It's a piece of metal. 10 years from now, you're not going to remember the trophies, but you're going to remember the experiences and the events. And yes, when you walk by, it does look extremely impressive. The one trophy case is just our stuff from the regional national championships and the state championships. With local trophies, I've taken and donated them to the Special Olympics, and what they do is they remove the plates and they take off certain band things and they create trophies for the schools and the different areas and regions, Special Olympics. And I think that's a great way, because some people throw the trophies away and we save them, but if you come in, they're just in rooms. For a historical perspective, well, that's definitely something that we want to have. There are plaques and stuff going back to the 50s from when Jim Griffith started here. We're one of the few programs in the nation that has a true documented history. People can go back decade by decade and know certain things about what we've done here.
A couple years ago when state competitions are held down at Ford Field in Detroit, sometimes some of the Western or Northern bands will come to Plymouth and stay the night here and maybe use our parking lot or practice facilities just to have kind of a home base closer to Detroit. One of those bands was here, and I saw some kids from that band walking into the band room, looked up at the ceiling and saw the flags hanging there from states, from nationals, and they were just in awe. And it really speaks to the legacy of this program. There are very few programs that have maintained the level of excellence. Programs will come and go and rise and fall. This one has always maintained that level.
Are there any former band students that are thriving in the music industry?
There are so many. It's rare for a program to have so many students actually go on and pursue and succeed in music. I remember when I was in college, I came to Variety Is. I came with a friend of mine who was an alumnus. We saw Zach Sheeman perform Flight of the Bumblebee from memory, and it was unbelievable. And I mean, he has multiple degrees. He's completed an Ironman, but he's also has a PhD in saxophone performance and is now the professor of saxophone studies at UMKC, which is a conservatory of music. And so he's just one example. But we have former students who come back and work with the bands. Joe Girard is another saxophone player who just finished up his PhD, I believe, in saxophone performance for Michigan State University. There's just so many people to list and name. Bill Lucas is also a trumpet performer with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. He was a student from Plymouth Canton. Those are just three that I could name.
We've got former band directors from here. Glenn Adsett is director of bands out of the Hart Conservatory. Dave McGrath was a student here, was the director of bands here for several years, is doing extremely well down at Kennesaw Mountain, as well as the caption head of the Cavaliers Drum and Bugle Corps. One that I think is really special is named Dr. Larry Livingston, and he's the director of orchestras out at USC, and his father was pretty much the first true band director in Plymouth, like full-time, and like throughout Plymouth history, you know, they had a small band, and the band director also taught chemistry. But Larry was the band director here. Jim Griffith had student taught with Larry, and halfway through that year, Larry had some health issues, and Jim stepped in as the interim band director, and his son Larry was a freshman in the band at that time. And I found all this out. I was at the National Concert Band Festival last year. A friend of mine said, you know, I want to introduce you to somebody, and took me over and met him. It was interesting. He's sitting around with all these extremely well-known collegiate and professional musicians, and he just got up, walked over, and started talking, was asking about, you know, I haven't been to Plymouth in years, you know, is this still here? And he talked about the experiences he had in the 50s. In the orchestra world, he's kind of the rock star of collegiate orchestral conductors, and he came from Plymouth.
For each of you guys, what was your favorite moment since you guys have been on the staff or been the president of Boosters?
The most memorable moment was when we got the presentation of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There were budget cuts, and we knew that our jobs were on the line. One day in the office, my assistant at the time, Sheldon, we're talking. All of a sudden, you know, the superintendent, Dr. Fiegel, shows up just unexpectedly and sits down and just starts talking, and then he disappears, and then this random call, would all students from the band program please come to the band room? And it's in the middle of class. They bring everybody in, and then all of a sudden, I didn't see that there were cameras on the sides. A guy by the name of Wesley is the head of the Macy's, and he comes in and does this whole spiel. Typically, they just show up, and they coordinate with the directors. But because it was our first time and we're the first band from Michigan, they contacted the Board of Education. And so the whole district knew what was going on, except for myself, Sheldon, and the kids. Even the boosters knew. So, I mean, that was a very cool moment for the concert band. Would probably be when the Wind Ensemble performed the state conference 4 years ago.
For me, 2 years ago, we were asked to perform at Relay for Life. It was a cold night. Elements were definitely against us from being able to play really well, but it was one of those moments where it taught kids that music really transcends what we're even trying to do. And my father had just passed away from cancer, literally less than, a month before that. To share that and to have the band family there supporting me and the way that music was able to support so many people at that event that night, it was pretty special. All my favorite moments are really small and tiny. It comes in, you know, a kid overcoming a fear of speaking in front of a group or something like that. There's a lot of little things.
I think mine was probably a small moment, but it was at one of our fundraisers, a craft show. We do two of them a year, and my son Jacob was playing trumpet there, and a Korean War veteran walked up to him, approached him, and asked him, do you know taps? Of course, I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my gosh, does he know taps off the top of his head? And Jacob very confidently says, yeah, actually I do. Would you like me to play it? And Jacob played it, and I just saw the small tear running down this veteran's eye. You know, I kind of smacked Jacob in the head afterward, and I say, see the power that music has with people. See how it can induce emotions. And it was a very good teaching moment for Jacob.
So we'll just start with your name and the instrument you play and the portion of the band that you're in.
My name is Jacob Zygmunt. I am a trumpet player in the band, part of the wind section. I'm currently a senior.
What is your favorite thing about the marching band?
My thing that I find favorite, personally, is the whole social aspect of band. I find, like, it's a whole community, basically. We're basically like a family. Whenever you go into the band room, like the director said, there is always something going on, whether it's a different part of the band program, like jazz band or winter guard or winter drumline, there's always something going on. It's something that makes marching band different than everything at the park.
What's your favorite memory since being on the marching band?
The first one was my freshman year at Grand Nationals. It was right after semifinals, and we were in our hotel. We were waiting to find out if we had made finals. Now, every single year, it's a custom to turn off your phones so that you will not know from, like, a parent or anyone to tell you, oh, you made finals. We were in the hotel, and it was starting to get dark, so we were all starting to get really nervous. And then Mr. Armbruster, Mr. Thoman called us all out to the parking lot, and we were all freaking out. Oh, geez, did we make it? Mr. Armbruster, the way he talked, saying, I'm sorry, guys, you've had a great season, making it seem like we didn't. And so, like, there are already a few kids, like, crying in the back. And then all of a sudden, he's like, folks, you made it. And that was definitely an emotional moment for all of us. And I think the moment that would rival that would be last year when we had found out we did not make finals. We stayed back at the camp, and we just took that time to bond like a family. All night, we just had fun. I think that moment might have just been better than making finals because we were able to overcome that whole aspect of placements because it didn't matter because we knew when we got off that field after semifinals that we did everything we could to make a great show and we made an emotional impact and that was the whole point of the show and I think that's what made basically all 4 years the moment that we all just loved.
So how does it feel to be able to perform at the Rose Bowl Parade?
It's amazing. Just the fact about being on television in front of millions, being able to represent this program in this community that hasn't been done in nearly 40, 50 years, it's something to be humble about. I find that it's going to be really emotional to be marching, 5 miles in one of the most well-respected areas in the country, especially around New Year's. I think it's going to be a really great experience.
You've been listening to Community Focus. Our guests have been the Plymouth Canton Marching Band Director of Bands, Dave Armbruster, Associate Director, John Thoman, and the band's Booster President, Chris Zygmunt. You can hear Community Focus every Wednesday following Newsfile at 5:30. Thanks for listening.
Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC Insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at KRUMM.